Welcome to the Will of God in the Life and the Writings of the Servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Come, O Divine Will, to breathe in my breathing, to palpitate in my heart, to circulate in my blood. May every single act be for the praise and glory of God our Father, for the salvation of all souls, from Adam to the last, and for the Divine Will to descend upon earth as it reigns in heaven, Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mary, Mother, and Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. We will continue with Volume 21. The next passage comes from March 5th, 1927, and the title is How Firmness in Good is Only of God. For once he has done an act, he never ceases. Effects of firmness. How the humanity of our Lord was the bound of times, the remedy and the model, how God wants the rights of the divine will to be secure. Luisa writes, I felt myself in a slumber of affliction because of the privation of my sweet Jesus. And in my interior I said to him, my love and my life, how is it you have departed from me without saying goodbye? Without teaching me where to direct my steps or the way I must follow in order to find you. Even more, it seems to me that you yourself have burned away the path through which you may be found. And as much as I wander around and call you, you do not listen to me. The paths are closed and exhausted with tiredness. I am forced to stop, longing for the one whom I wish to find at any cost. But I don't. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, come back. Come to the one who cannot live without you. But while I was pouring out my paint, he barely moved in my interior, and as I felt him move, I said to him, my Jesus, my life, how is it you made me wait for so long to the point that I cannot take any more? And if you make yourself seen, you just flash by and you don't say anything to me. So it becomes darker than before and I remain delirious with pain. I search for you, I call you, but I wait for you in vain. We remember that during this passage that Luisa Picarreta is experiencing the absence of our Lord. It's been about 2 days since our Lord showed himself to Luisa. And Luisa Picarreta is experiencing this dryness, the absence of our Lord Jesus. Many times we experience the same in our life. We experience the absence of our Lord. And we see this as something that brings in us something that is missing. We feel like the Lord has abandoned us, as Luisa Picarreta feel in this passage. But the reality is that when we experience the absence of our Lord Jesus, that is a moment of grace. Because at that moment when we experience the presence of our Lord, it's very easy to remain firm. But the test comes when we don't feel anything. And still, we have to believe. We have to remain faithful. And this is when faith comes in. That even we don't see, even though we don't see, we don't feel anything, we still believe. And Jesus wants us to be firm. This passage, the title of this passage, talks about firmness, to be firm, to remain faithful, even when we don't feel the presence of our Lord. This is a time of grace. Whenever we experience the absence of our Lord, that's a time of grace, because the Lord is enlarging, expanding our capacity to receive. In the same way that when you skip one meal, you will feel more hunger. You will feel the need to take food. So the Lord wants us to be hungry for Him. He wants us to seek Him always, even when we don't feel like, even when we don't experience His presence in us. Because He's always there, even though we don't see Him, even though we don't feel Him, He is there helping us, accompanying us. Because we carry in ourselves the Holy Spirit that was given to us in baptism. And the Holy Spirit remains with us. As Luisa Picaretta experienced the absence of our Lord wants her to remain firm. And this is what He wants from us too, to remain firm, to believe. And especially those that we know the gift of the divine will. When we do acts in the divine will, it seems like we are doing nothing. It seems like we are doing the same as everybody else. But in reality, we are not. Because when we are united with the will of God, every single act that we do becomes a prayer to repair, to adore, to glorify God. Even if we unite that emptiness, that nothingness, that absence, that feeling of Jesus being absent in our life, that we don't feel His presence in our soul. Because once we unite that with our Lord, then He's able to take it and make it His own. And then rightness will say to faith, I have done everything. Everything now is your turn. This is what He teaches in volume 11, that He gives us the opportunity to experience everything in our soul. Let's continue. And Jesus, compassionate in me, told me, my daughter, do not fear. I am here with you. What I want is that you never go out of my will and that you continue your acts always without ever moving from the boundaries of the kingdom of the supreme fiat. This is what He wants, that we will never go out of His will. Even if we don't feel His presence, we have to remain firm in Him, planted, rooted in Him. How? Doing acts in the divine will, uniting everything that we do with His will. And this will give you the firmness which will make you be like your Creator. Once He has done an act, that act has the virtue of continuing without ever ceasing. An act which is always continuous is only of God, who suffers no interruption in His acts. This is why our firmness is unshakable and extending everywhere with our immensity. It renders our acts uninterrupted. Wherever we learn, we find our firmness, which gives us the greatest honor. It makes us known as the Supreme Being, Creator of all, and renders our being and our acts inexorable. In fact, wherever place we want to lean on, we find our firmness, which sustains everything. God is always the same. God doesn't change. And through the gift of faith that is given to us in the sacrament of baptism, we are called to remain firm in the Lord, planted in Him, so that whether we suffer or whether we experience happiness, we still planted, rooted in God, knowing that with these acts, He is growing in us. His life is growing in our soul. My daughter, firmness is of divine nature and a divine endowment. And so it is right that we give this participation and endowment of divine nature to one who must be daughter of our divine fiat and who must live in our kingdom. So the fact that you continue your acts in it without ever interrupting them reveals that you already are in possession of the endowment of our firmness. If we remain firm, that's an indication that we are already walking the right path, that we are on our way. And perhaps this is an answer that so many people have. Sometimes they ask me, how do I know that I am already living in the divine will, or I'm doing acts in the divine will? Well, in a way, this is an answer. Many times Jesus says to Luisa Picaretta, forget, don't think about that. I will do everything in you, because the fact that you want to know is your human will wanting to be in control. But in a way, our Lord Jesus is giving us an indication that if we are firm in our acts, if we remain faithful, if our acts in the divine will are continuous, then in a way, that's an indication that we already are on the right path. How many things firmness says? It says that the soul moves only for God. It says that she moves with reason and out of pure love, not with passion and out of self-interest. It says that she knows the good she does, and therefore she is firm in it, without ever interrupting it. Firmness says with indelible characters, here there is the finger of God, therefore be firm in your acts, and you will have our divine firmness within your works. To be firm, to remain faithful, to be always in the divine will, doing our acts in the divine will, it says, then every single act united in the divine will be an act that will give praise, glory, and adoration to God. Every single act will have the strength of God, the divine strength. Afterwards, I was continuing my acts in the supreme volition, and as I arrived at the point of following the acts of Jesus from the moment of his conception in the womb of the Immaculate Queen up to his death on the cross. My adorable Jesus, making himself felt again in my interior, told me, my daughter, my humanity came upon earth as though in the midst of times, in order to reunite the past, when in creation the fullness of my will reigned in man. Everything belonged to it. Everywhere it had its kingdom, its operative and divine life. And I enclose this fullness of my divine will in me, and binding those in the present, first I became the model to form the remedies which were needed, the help and the teachings which were necessary to heal them. And then I bound the prosperity to the fullness of the divine will which reigned in the first times of creation. Our Lord came to redo everything, and in himself he enclosed everything. By teaching, by preaching, by performing miracles, by curing the sick, by raising the dead, by giving sight to the blind, by curing the cripple, he was restoring us spiritually. He was renewing us, redoing us spiritually, so that spiritually we'll be able to gain sight, to be able to hear his word, to be able to walk in his path, to be able to walk the life of the gospel, to be able to rise to the life of grace. Therefore, my coming upon earth was a bond of reunion of times. It was the remedy in order to form this bond, so that the kingdom of the divine fiat might return into the midst of creatures. It was the model for all, so that being model, they will be tied to the bonds formed by me. This is why, before speaking to you about my will, I spoke to you about my coming upon earth, of what I did and suffered, in order to give you the remedies and the model of my own life. And then I spoke to you about my will. It was bound that I formed in you. And in these bounds, I formed the kingdom of my will. A sign of this is the knowledge, all the manifestations of the kingdom of the divine will. Oh, the sorrow that I feel that my kingdom does not reign in the midst of creatures. The good that this kingdom promises to the children of the kingdom of the divine will. It was necessary, our Lord is telling Luisa Picarreta, that it was necessary for him to first speak to Luisa Picarreta about his life, all his suffering that he endured for us. And we encounter this in the 24 hours of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ that were given to Luisa Picarreta. He says, it was necessary that you understand first all that I had to do to suffer, to redo men. And it was necessary that Luisa Picarreta will know this first, so that she will understand the humanity of our Lord Jesus and everything he suffered, so that by knowing all the pain, all the suffering, and everything that our Lord Jesus suffered for us, then she was able to understand this gift that he's given to her. And it's the gift that he wants to give to all of us. Mass. Then I continued to pray, says Luisa Picaretta, and I was almost asleep when all of a sudden I heard someone speak in a loud voice within me. I paid closer attention and I saw my beloved Jesus with his arms raised in the act of embracing me, saying to me with powerful voice, "My daughter, I ask nothing else from you but this, that you be the daughter, the mother, the sister of my will, and that you place in safety within you its rights, its honor, its glory." He said this with a loud and powerful voice. Then, lowering his voice and hugging me, he added, "My daughter, the reason for which I want the rights of my eternal fiat to be secured is that I want to enclose the most holy Trinity in the soul. My divine will alone can give us the place and the glory worthy of us. Through it, we can operate freely and place in you all the good of creation, forming even more beautiful things, because with our will in the soul, we can do everything, while without it we will lack the place in which to put ourselves and in which to play our works. So, not being free, we remain in our celestial residence. By virtue of our baptism, we already received the gift of the divine will. Also, because wherever the Trinity is, the will of God is there. Since the will of God is what governs the three divine persons, what unites the three divine persons, so in our baptism we receive the gift of the Blessed Trinity in us, God living in us through the Holy Spirit, St. Paul tells us. We become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity, temples of God, the temples of the Holy Spirit. What our Lord Jesus is telling to Luisa Picaretta in this passage is that through the gift of the divine will, God wants to enclose himself in us, in the soul, so that God will be able to operate behind every single act, so that he will be the force behind every single act that we do, whether it's praying, sleeping, eating, breathing, palpitating, everything that we do, everything that is not a sin, he will be able to do it in us through this gift of the divine will. So when he is saying that he wants to enclose the Blessed Trinity in our soul through the gift of the divine will, he means that he desires for us to remove our human will so that his divine will be able to reign in our hearts, in our soul, so that he will be able to operate in everything we do, so God living in us, freely reigning in our soul, so that God will be able to descend freely in the soul of the person. The temple not made by human hands, but made from God himself. It happens as to a king, he says, who loving one of his subjects with excessive love, wants to lower himself to live in his little house. But he wants to be free. He wants to put royal things in this little house. He wants to command. He wants that subject to eat of his good and delicate food together with him. This is what he wants. He wants to descend upon our poor house. He wants to descend upon our soul, and he wants to adorn the soul with his divine things, with his divine attributes, with his divine qualities, and he wants us to eat from this divine food, to drink from this divine wine that emanates from this divine gift, the gift of living in the divine will, God living in us. He wants us to share. He wants to share himself with us, and he wants us to share with him. But in order for this to happen, the divine king needs the human will to be surrendered. In sum, he wants to live his life of king together with us. But the subject does not want him to put his royal things or to command, nor does he want to adapt himself to the foot of the king. In this example, he's telling us that we have to allow him, who is the divine king, to bring everything into our soul. We have to allow his royal things to enter in our soul. We have to allow the divine king to command, to have full reign in our hearts, in our souls. Because if we don't do this, we will be like the subject who does not accept the visit of his king, of the divine king. By bringing all the things with him, the divine king is establishing himself, bringing the kingdom, his kingdom, in our soul. But if the king does not feel free, if the king does not feel welcome, love, corresponded, he will be sad and he will be forced to go away. This king wants to be free, to bring everything, all his richness, all that exists in his divine kingdom. He doesn't want to go back to his royal place. He wants to be with his creature, us, God resting in the soul of man. He continues and he says, wherever my will does not reign, I am not free. Sometimes we want God to adapt to us. We want him to be able to adapt himself to our circumstances, to our needs, to our wantings. But in reality is that we have to give up our free will so he can reign in us. The divine will is not going to adapt to our imperfections. We have to surrender to him. We have to surrender to the divine king who comes as a beggar, begging us to give him freedom in our souls so he will continue his life in us. Let's read again. Wherever my will does not reign, I am not free. The human will causes a continuous contrast with mine. Therefore, not having our rights secure, we cannot reign. So we remain in our royal palace. He's asking us to surrender our will to him so that he will have freedom to operate behind every single act that we do. He's asking us to be firm in every single act that we do, to have faith, knowing that he is there operating in us even though we don't feel it, even though we don't feel like. But if we do this, he will bring all his divine attributes, he will bring all his divine treasures and will deposit these divine treasures in our soul. He will bring with him all the royal things from the royal kingdom, the kingdom of the divine will, and he will place all these beautiful things in our soul, making there his royal place, his royal palace. He wants us to be able to invite him in freedom. He wants our free will. So out of our free will, let's give up our free will so he can reign in us. I guess the lesson that we can learn from this passage is that he is with us always, even though we don't feel it. He's with us always, even though we don't feel like he is there. Even though we don't feel his presence, he is there always. He wants us to be firm, to be faithful. He wants us to give him freedom so he can reign, so he can bring all his royal treasures and deposit them in our soul. And what assures him that we are not going to appropriate these gifts is humility. Humility safeguards the gifts of God in us. And faithfulness to him assures him also that we will always love him. Trust in him gives wings to the soul. Trust in God makes the soul firm, and it elevates the soul towards the divine creator, towards our God and Father. And faith makes the divine will descend in our hearts, in our souls, so we may become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity in a more perfect way, since in the sacrament of baptism, we become the indwelling place of God, the Blessed Trinity. But when we surrender our will to him, this assures God that his gifts are safe, that he has full reign in us. This is what he wants. This is what he wants. He wants to make his royal palace in our soul. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of the divine will, for the knowledge of the divine will, for the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. And we ask you that through your Holy Spirit, you may assist us, that through your Holy Spirit you may expand our capacity to understand this gift, to receive this gift, to live in the divine will, and to love this gift with your own love. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.